starting off is the situation in Sudan. Good news, the situation in Sudan seems to have almost subsided. It's calmed itself down. But it must be stated that they're in a bit of a crossroads right now in the country, because they're looking a lot more like the countries that they didn't want to be like when the protests were taking place. And that is countries like Egypt and Libya and all those other I don't know how to put this, Sharia law run countries that had revolutions and then had the same people that were in the old administration be a part of the new administration. Same things happening in Zimbabwe. But updates are, right now, as I speak to you, the Sudanese military council and opposition have decided to have a power-sharing committee where both sides share power. And me and Vu want to talk about the Pray for Sudan movement and what I think some of the issues are with having movements like this in the first place. But I wanted to give you an update on what's happening, and so far it's good. I don't know, Vu. What do you know about the protests as best as you can? Besides the 100 people that have passed and all that stuff.
All I know about the protest is there's a lot of people who've joined together in basically the Pray for Sudan movement.
Yeah.
Which, don't get me wrong, it's all well and good.
Yeah.
The only problem with that is we're not doing anything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We live in such a technological age, and people think that that only affects our social lives, but it even affects our humanity to a degree.
Yeah.
And that we're not even making certain movements to help people the way we're actually supposed to.
I saw someone put up a post. They were saying something along the lines of, stop judging us for doing the whole Pray for Sudan, changing our DPs blue thing. We're doing something to help. And I would never be upset with someone that decided that this is how they wanted to help. My problem is that when you're doing something that feels like you're helping, the endorphins and the dopamine fix that you get is the exact same as if you actually helped people. And when it comes to hashtag activism, it very rarely works. And I don't know if we would be as excited about that if it was the other way around. I'll give you a prime example. In the 1980s, in Europe, mainly in England, there was something called the AAM, right? The anti-apartheid movement. It was in Britain. 10,000 people were protesting very rigorously against their government, who was in very much support of the old regime. And the same thing happened in the States with Reagan. They got up and they marched to where the Prime Minister stayed and to the White House, and stood outside their gates and held multiple protests asking their governments, what are you doing about South Africa? Reagan specifically said that him being kicked out or him being forced to put sanctions on SA would be the one thing that he wouldn't want to do if it was up to him. But next thing you know, Russia and America, who by the time was still going through the end remnants of the Cold War or whatever, decided, let's all sanction this country because our people have come to our boom gates and they're screaming at us. That's what happens when people actually go out and make a difference and make the effort it takes to actually speak to their governments, as opposed to doing hashtag activism. Because I can guarantee right now, we wouldn't feel really good if instead of having people go to their governments and scream at their doorsteps, all they did was change their DPs green and write Pray for SA.
We're very privileged.
Yeah.
I feel, especially in South Africa, I hate how people, how we've actually neglected the history that we've come from.
Yeah.
Because I think being in the newer generation, we really missed the bulk of what exactly happened during our time.
We kind of grew up in a space where there wasn't a lot of freeing to do. There wasn't a lot of colonization to overrun. So we don't really know how to get rid of it when it comes apart.
Yeah.
You need to get boots on the ground. Fees Must Fall was a big deal because guess what the students did? They went to parliament. And across the country, what did we all do? We marched, looked our government in the face and said, hey, what's going on? You force them to address an issue that we think they should be involved in on a legislative agenda, or maybe just when it comes to foreign affairs, and you actually get movement, just like what happened in the States with us. I'm telling you now, South Africans would have felt some type of way if we were going through apartheid and all they did after the Sharpeville massacre was put a green DPs and say, Pray for SA.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have felt like they were doing anything. They wouldn't have felt like it was enough.
What we need to learn, especially here, being in South Africa, being the newer generation, is that things were done.
Yes.
They were actually, there was no social media. People also need to understand social media was also kind of prevalent then.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much.
Chat rooms online chat rooms and stuff like that. Yes.
I mean, we had media coverage. People knew about apartheid for a few years.
Actually, yeah. Oh, wow. And if someone tried to convince you that they were trying to spread awareness, you'd be pissed. Just like how right now, CNN is spreading the real information about what's happening in Sudan. So pretending like spreading, what is it? What did they say? Spreading awareness is doing something in a world that is innately aware.
Basically, I'm going to tell you like this. If you ever put a blue DP on your WhatsApp, Instagram, whatever it is, all you were doing was being the news for everybody else.
Yeah, you were just remind.
That's literally what you were doing.
Yeah, you were doing what we would have gotten if we were just on CNN, which a lot of us are in some cases. And the part that got to me the most, where why I'm really frustrated, why I want to talk about this is that one calling a spade a spade. We treated, and we do this all the time, whenever a human being is involved in a massacre, we treat it like it's a ghost. Like in 2014, I think, around there when the Ebola crisis hit, Guinea was one of the countries hit the hardest by it. Guinea and the countries in West Africa were ravaged by Ebola.
Yeah.
No one said pray for Guinea. Everyone was going on about Ebola. We knew exactly what the problem was, where it was coming from, pointed that problem out and dealt with the problem. They weren't going there to go on their knees and pray for Guinea. We had doctors going overseas to fix what? Ebola. They were trying to help people survive what? Ebola. When it comes to South Sudan, there is a military leader that is in charge of all of this crap that's going on. And his name is Hamedi. There's a guy out there whose name is Hamedi. He is the vice president of the General Military Council
yeah.
of Sudan. That's the guy that's causing this. He is the Ebola in the situation. But instead of focusing on the Ebola, we focus on the people being affected by Ebola.
What I'm really not understanding, and I'm not appreciating, to be quite honest, is how, with the whole crisis in Sudan, people are losing lives, right? Yeah. They're losing lives. But just like any other thing that social media has made us take very lightly, it's made us take that lightly too.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's seen that meme where there's a picture, it's a meme of a dude holding a cell phone, busy taking or recording him, or recording himself giving money to a poor person.
Yes.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Essentially, everybody who's posted about, oh, this for Sudan or whatever, instead of actually, if we really want to, we're touching base with our humanity in a very light way.
Yeah, but the worst part about it is that we get all of the gratification of a person who really made a move.
So it's being fake woke.
It's like playing NBA 2K and feeling like you're really LeBron out here. Yeah, like you're really like, I'm out here balling. And it's like, no, you're playing virtual. This is virtual activism. That's what this is.
That's exactly
it's virtual activism. Is. And I am not willing to go to Parliament or march because I'm lazy. So I'm not going to put the DP. And if you did, I commend you, and I really want to make it clear there's no judgment on our side about it.
Not at all.
You did more than even what we were doing. My issue was the number of people that don't know Hamedi, that don't know what's going on exactly, that don't know about Darfur, which is a massacre that took place in the 90s in South Sudan.
Yeah.
And that this is the same guy that was in charge of that same massacre, and that Hamedi, who's now in charge of the transitional team, was in the same parliamentary systems as Omar al-Bashir.
So he was within. With
this is almost trigger massacres. Man. Yeah, he's yeah, almost he's trigger within. Man.
He's the same guy. It's which points to exactly what you just said earlier.
Which is if you
the
don't
same
call
guy
a spade
who
a spade,
was there for those. He's here for this very one right now.
And he's doing 100 people now, which is way less than he had done before. And to make matters even worse, there is no attention directly put towards him in a global scale. Could you imagine if you woke up in the morning and there was a hashtag that said "Down with Hamedi"?
I think
and the whole world was focused specifically on him, the Ebola of the situation. Not the country dealing with Ebola, but him, the virus that needed to be removed.
I mean, ask any celebrity in South Africa. Once the spotlight is put on you for doing something, you're under pressure.
Exactly.
To do what? Either change whatever it is that you did that got you the spotlight, or obviously keep doing it if it's good spotlight.
Now, guys like Hamedi are megalomaniacs. Sometimes the attention comes to them and they feel all special and all giddy. But it's impossible for your government to ignore when you're pointing specifically to a target that needs to be eradicated, and you're asking them, hey, guys that we elected to do this, what are you doing about this?
Exactly.
What is the AU doing about this? Is the ICC going to be involved? What's happening? As opposed to pray for Sudan. I just, as a South African, knowing what happened in the 90s with the protests in the States and all the Americans and the Europeans who came out and actually stood specifically to end apartheid or marched to force their government to sanction us so they'd end apartheid.
Yeah.
I just know it would have sucked for me to know both. To if I knew what we did do, and then I was put in a virtual reality world where I had to go back and watch us do hashtag activism.
Oh, goodness.
My heart would break.
Guys, we'd still be the same.
My heart would break. It would have been so much harder for us to get free because every single person felt like they did their part. And here's the last thing I'm going to say about this is, you know when you put up a DP supporting something, you're saying to everyone in the world, hey guys, I want you to know that I am for these people and I'm for this cause. Mvu, what does it look like when you remove that DP?
I'm off that. Like it's over.
It makes it look like you're done.
Don't bring it up. Like, it's
like, right? It was a moment in time. Me fighting for Sudan was something I was doing, but I'm not doing it anymore. It's one of the issues that come with hashtag activism is that you put so much attention on something that when you move off of it, we all move off of it.
Basically.
The spotlight immediately depletes and we're all just kind of looking for the next country to pray for.
I don't know if people actually, if you notice the trend, but remember when Nipsey Hussle passed away?
Yes.
When Nipsey passed, it was like the music game.
Post, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Every artist was on some RIP to a real one. You know what it is.
Nipsey.
Now, they've shifted. Completely. They went from that to now performing, but now they perform and sell out because they're wearing a Nipsey t-shirt. Or Nipsey, I don't know, it's a Nipsey banner.
Yes.
I'm not saying that these guys are using Nipsey's name to get, you know, crowds and whatnot. But all of a sudden, it's convenient for the game to come back, but it's coming back with a new banner.
Yeah, so coming back with something to kind of bring fans together with.
You get what I'm saying?
Now a dude who never would have worked at Nipsey has Nipsey's fans looking at him like, oh, you must be okay.
Oh, because now you throw love to our guy. Nipsey like exactly. That. And that's crazy. Yeah. So now, my thing about that is, when you do that, like, okay, we can argue that in that instance, they're being fake woke in a Nipsey Hussle type of way.
Yes.
And this is the final thing I'm going to say about it.
Yeah.
If you want to validate your intellect or your humanity through virtual interaction and posting something,
we call it virtual activism.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then you're gonna do it in a woke currency, right?
Yeah,
because you're trying to show us that you're very aware of the environment that you stay in the world that you live in, and that you care about it.
Yeah.
Understand something? There's nothing about you that makes you more than that in terms of. You put up a blue DP and you think you're making a change in the world.
Yeah.
You're literally feeding into this beast that is social media that has done nothing but guarantee that we regress as a race.
Yeah.
As a human race.
And also does nothing but confirm the fact that the moment we all decide to change our DPs back, the world stops paying attention completely.
And then Sudan. We don't... And the worst part is... One thing I have noticed about the people that post about, oh, pray for Sudan.
Yeah.
I've hardly seen those people that post up those things actually post follow information. Up.
Like, yeah, right, right. Yeah, like, what's happening in Sudan?
Exactly.
This is how far they are now. There's peace treaties. Things are moving forward. Letting us know.
The pray for Sudan is a trend.
Yeah.
That's the not
a,
sad
It's a trend.
Thing. It's a trend. It's literally like, it's like if I ever wanted to be now seen as different, like if I was known as a superficial... airhead.
And it's time for me to start doing some
and
like.
And I need to start looking woke.
Yeah.
First step I do.
Thank God Sudan's in a pickle.
Boom. Ooh, Sudan.
Pray for Sudan.
Well, thank you. Blue DP, where you at?
Yeah.
So that's what it is.
Hey, yeah, but look, that's all we have to say on the topic. Things are looking good for Sudan right now. They're moving forward, and as a country, I really hope that things get better for them. They've been under a really, really strong dictatorship with Omar al-Bashir since 1989, bro.
Whoa.
Since 1989, this man has been in control of this country, and I think we can always find a better way to make change a lot faster. And I think if we're willing to take part in changing this world, and we can allow ourselves to feel bad enough when we aren't doing anything, that we are forced to do something real, as opposed to getting the quick dopamine fix that comes with putting up a blue DP, the world will be a much better place.
If you want to try and show your humanity, appeal to it, or let it... Let it speak more through your actions. And I'm not talking posting. I'm talking actually being
active.
What we could have done as a challenge,
right?
I challenge the people that put up the blue DPs.
Yeah.
Get into a group.
Yeah.
Have those people march to our government and be like, yo.
Even if it means you find the actual people that are like heading the I'll put up her Instagram. She's a great young woman from South Sudan.
Yeah.
Who are heading the movement in South Sudan. Yeah. Find those people on social media. Start a coalition with her. Ask her what they need, the people on the ground, the young people need from you. Sudan is one of the youngest countries on the planet.
Dude.
Youth is like, I think like a good 60% of the people that are there are like under 25. It's crazy.
Whoa.
How many young people are in Sudan. Find the right people to talk to so that instead of praying for Sudan, you're actually helping Sudan, helping men Sudan, and Sudan can move forward.
I mean, and obviously being a Christian prayer for me works like you actually pray for something and then you move in faith.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's basically what it is.
Yeah. Let's close it off. Yeah.
All right.
Stop praying for Sudan.